To go over the groups that are meeting in Germany, we're joined by Frank Anderson, who is the former chief of the Near East and South Asia for the CIA. Now, let's review. There are four groups represented. The Northern Alliance, they have a relatively high-powered delegation there, although the last president of Afghanistan, Burhanuddin Rabbani, did not come. And since they hold considerable power right now, I would think that would make them the most important group.
Well, possession being 9 points of the law, I guess it does. They still don't have effective control over the country because much of the territory that they command now is sparsely populated. They do have some ethnic problems in trying to establish alliances or relationships with people in the south and the southwest, still to be, if we can use the word, conquered or liberated. But there is no question that they come to the table with more physical strength than any of the other players.
And is the fact that there are so many different groups in this alliance, does that make them stronger or weaker in terms of a negotiation?
In terms of the negotiation, I think it makes them stronger because they do have significant representation from all but one ethnic group. In Afghanistan, it's frequently said that the Taliban are primarily Pashtun, which they most certainly are, but there is a not insignificant portion of the Northern Alliance that is Pashtun.
Now, there is a group around the former king of Afghanistan, which is Pashtun, Mohammad Zahir Shah. He is not at the meeting, but he's obviously sent representatives. And this meeting is very important to him, to the king, because he doesn't have armies. I mean, if he's going to get anything, he gets it here.
He'll get it here or some other way through outside assistance or pressure. Given the politics and tribal relationships in that part of the world, he also represents a paradoxical strength that comes from weakness. It's because he has no armies that he is probably not regarded as life-threatening by any of the other contenders.
The Peshawar delegation. Now, it's called that because representatives of a group of religious leaders and others met in Peshawar in late October in Pakistan. That was a meeting which might have, but did not, create this elusive transitional government, in large part because nobody important showed up at that meeting.
In large part because nobody important showed up. At that time, most of the important people in the country were still engaged in fighting. I think some of the others, certainly the representatives of the Cyprus group, who were essentially backed by the Iranians, probably felt that they would be disadvantaged in meeting in Pakistan. I'm not certain what the basis was of the decision for the King's Party, for want of a better word, not to arrive. But in fact, the titular head of the Peshawar group is Pir Gaylani, who was very much associated with the sort of royalist political trend among the Mujahideen.
And what about that Cyprus delegation? They are supported by Iran, and the most famous person, I suppose, that's associated with them, who is not at the meeting, is Gulbuddin Hekmatyar.
Well, let me look at two groups that the Iranians are inclined to support. One of them is the largest ethnic group in Afghanistan that is religiously Shia and thereby tied to Iran. Those are the Hazara. This Hazara have no reason to be grateful to or trustful of any of the other ethnic groups. They've suffered at the hands of every other party at the table. Gulbuddin Hekmatyar is another very interesting character, very definitely not a Hazara, not a Sunni, has in the past no religious or political reason to be associated with Iran other than the fact that after he failed in a very bloody and destructive attempt to seize power in Kabul after the Soviets left and after the puppet regime fell, he ended up as an exile in Iran and probably has made some kind of a deal with the Iranians to exchange his agreement to look out for their interests for their support in trying to win him a role in a post-Taliban Afghanistan.
Is this kind of meeting, I mean, is it going to work? Does it have any prospect of working?
I think it has some prospect of working, largely because everyone at the table is weary of that which has not worked for the last 20 or 30 years. On the other hand, the history is not good. None of these meetings in the last 30 years has produced a government that lasted in Kabul. And this one has, at best, I would say, 40% chance of doing so.
Frank Anderson, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Linda. Thank you.
Frank Anderson is a former chief of the Near East and South Asia for the CIA. He joined us in our studio.